Mason-Dixon line.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Wednesday morning. Once again, text line 251-343-0106. Time permitting, we'll get your text in and we'll respond accordingly. Joining us now, worked in a couple of places inside the Beltway. Primarily, I knew him from Coach Tuberville's Senate office, but also was at the Department of Defense for a while. But Morgan Murphy joins us on the line. Morgan, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Jeff. Great to be with you this morning.
Hey, thanks for hopping on. So I guess we'll talk about this. This is sort of where the news cycle has taken us. But everybody's watching the L.A. riots and sort of, you know, that unfold. The images are pretty, you know, jarring, I guess. Yeah, even you see the Mexican flag and just streets littered and fireworks and smoke and police cars being, you know, it looks like a war scene. But the Trump administration has acted decisively, I would say, by overruling the governor and the mayor there and saying, no, we're going to do the National Guard. But also there's a military component. But just in general, kind of talk about the policy response.
Well, I think what you're seeing is a much stronger policy response here in 2025, summer of 25, than we saw exactly 5 years ago. I was called up. I'm a Navy captain. I've been in the Navy Reserve for 26 years now. And I was called up from my home in Birmingham to serve the Secretary of Defense as his press secretary during 2020. And you know, what we saw in 2020 were riots, you know, due to Black Lives Matter start in Minneapolis and then spread through the whole country. And Washington, D.C. at that time, of course, I was living in D.C. During that summer, it was boarded up like a hurricane was coming. All stores and businesses were closed and boarded up, and that was seen across the country. And you know, my hometown of Birmingham was rioting and looting downtown. So it's like I lived in New York in the 1990s and watched as Mayor Rudy Giuliani cleaned up that whole city. And it was the broken windows theory. If you let one window get broken and you don't fix it, then pretty soon all your other windows on your house are broken. And I think that's the way this administration is looking at L.A. right now. If it's not stopped in L.A., it will spread like a contagion across the country.
Right. And I guess really standing up to this and acted, like I said, decisively and does it send a message, or, you know, the system's so kind of fraught with like a desensitization to whatever the response is after 2020? Is this going to work? I guess is kind of what I'm wondering.
Oh, it's going to work. I mean, you send 700 Marines in there, and they'll calm down Los Angeles in about 20 minutes. The Marine Corps will, if called upon, will take care of it. And so will the National Guard. I think a strong response is important because it is an insurrection. It is absolutely an invasion. When people are burning cars, looting stores, lawlessness is on hand, and the governor and the mayor of Los Angeles are doing nothing to stop it. In fact, quite the opposite. They're encouraging it. You know, Gavin Newsom's speech last night was basically his first stump speech for president in 28. He's ruling over a failed state, and it's a failed policy. But make no mistake, Jeff, this is planned. And I think that people have in 2020, we didn't know how organized it was and the money behind it. 2025, people have figured out that these sorts of riots are not spontaneous, that there are some deep pockets behind it. And what's sad is a lot of time it's the taxpayers' pockets. The taxpayer in California is paying for this kind of garbage to take place on their streets. It's really unbelievable when you watch it.
Well, and is this the precedent? Is this the way, you know, is this a deterrent in the future? So let's say this, I guess the fear, at least from some, would be that they would see what's going on in L.A. and, hey, that seems to be going in a certain direction. Let's try that here in Chicago, or let's try that here in Detroit or wherever. And I guess the idea would be, well, you don't want this spreading beyond the confines of Southern California.
Well, you and I don't want it spreading. And I think the average person in Alabama and the heartland of the country don't want it spreading. But a lot of these politicians do. So Karen Bass, the mayor of Los Angeles, her opinion polls were in the tank, which is where they belonged after her complete inadequate response to the wildfires in her city. And what has seen in the past few days, her poll numbers are creeping up, is her response to these riots, which to me look wholly inadequate. I cannot believe that, you know, your city burning down is you know, something that would make a Democrat's poll numbers go up. But there's an inverse relationship there to logic. So sadly, it does.
Well, talk about this. Now, you know, beyond a National Guard response, but the Marines, how, you know, we hear, well, they're not equipped for this. They're not equipped to do these police actions. And I kind of believe that to be true, maybe, but am I wrong?
Well, you know, I think the president said it best yesterday at Fort Bragg. He said generations of heroes did not shed their blood on distant shores only to watch their own country be destroyed by an invasion here at home. I served with General Petraeus in Afghanistan in 2010 and 2011, and Petraeus often said that our men and women in uniform could go outside the gates of, you know, the forward operating bases there, and they were prepared to either receive a handshake or a hand grenade. They were prepared for both. We have fought, our military has fought over the past 20 years, insurgencies from Iraq to Afghanistan around the world. So, yes, the military is absolutely prepared to repel an invasion. And every member, you know, when you raise your right hand and join our armed services here in the United States, you promise, you swear with your life not to protect and defend a king or a potentate. You promise to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And I think right here, what we're watching going on in L.A. is a perfect example of that. We've got foreign enemies and domestic enemies who have a blood vendetta against democracy and liberty, and they're saying it to us. They're saying it to us as clearly as they can, that they hate this country, they hate what this country stands for, they hate the laws of our country, and they want to bring it down. And I say, when somebody tells you who they are, listen.
Well, and, you know, and you're right, you talked about the inverse response. They expected, I think the media and the left expected to get some kind of bump out of this. And the early polling shows just the opposite, that the message isn't really, it really isn't resonating, and it's working in Trump's favor. And I think people just said, well, you know, finally a president who's going to do something and, you know, stop some of this. This is not a good look for them. You know, talk about the politics of it. And I still hear people who are very hesitant about this response and don't like the look of it, but so far it doesn't seem to be a net negative for the Trump administration.
No, this is one of his 80-20 response. 80% of the public, and I probably think 90% of the public, sees what's going on and says this is nuts. The people that are motivated by it are the far left, the Democrats' base right now it seems to be motivated by it. But the rest of the country just looks at it and thinks, you know, what the heck is going on? But the politics of it, I mean, you touch on that, and I think it's an insightful place to go. If you know, our electoral college and our census counts people living in a state, and it doesn't count whether they're citizens or not. That doesn't matter. It's how many people are living there. So illegals count, which I find objectionable in the extreme, but the way 2030 is looking right now, if the Trump administration deports a sizable amount of the illegal immigrants that have entered this country unlawfully, then Democrats stand to lose between 10 and 12 electoral college votes come 2030. And so that's the political math behind illegal immigration that we're witnessing. That's why they're so desperate to keep illegals in this country, or they won't ever win a presidential election, at least not in my lifetime.
Yeah, I think you're
right.
If
they lose 10 to 12, they're in trouble.
And also the optics here, and I, you know, like, you're right. They think that this is a positive, and so Matt Iglesias, he's a left-wing journalist, said, well, he thinks that Gavin Newsom is really helping his presidential 2028 mm-hmm. effort here. And I think he's maybe right about that. The problem is the Democratic Party right now is being led by kind of a fringe element. I mean, you know, the top Democrat right now, the most name ID recognizable kind of figure, it's like an AOC.
Yeah.
And those views are so far out of whack with the mainstream public. And you know, maybe it sells in some of the more populated areas in America, but I don't even think that well. I think the average person, you know, watching this from wherever in the United States is like, I don't like this. You got to do something about this. And that's why Democrats, they've been misreading everything going all the way back to the 24 cycle, and they continue to do so.
Thank goodness they continue to do so, but it is remarkable to watch them continually make the wrong choice when they get to the fork in the road. And, you know, there are a few lone voices out there, like Senator Fetterman, saying, you know, this, we're losing the moral high ground here when we allow this lawlessness and anarchy to exist in our cities. And we see it across blue-ruled cities across the U.S. This is, I mean, this is an extreme example, but it's really true.
We're joined by Morgan Murphy here on the program. Just a few more minutes here. Daily Caller report, I guess a few weeks ago, hinted, mentioned your name as a potential U.S. Senate candidate in Alabama. What's the scoop on that? What can you tell us?
I'm flattered to be included in possible names. And I've heard from a lot of well-meaning friends from my home state asking me to consider it. Certainly touched by that. I was proud to work for President Trump in his first administration, and really proud to join Coach Tuberville from the very beginning of his term in Senate. To be honest with you, Jeff, I asked him to stay in the Senate. His voice has been so incredible here in Washington. As you saw in Coach, or you see in Coach, someone who's willing to stand in the breach. It's an uncomfortable place to be. The Senate is the most exclusive country club in the world. And it's human nature to go someplace and want to be liked. And Coach is well liked. But he was willing to take a stand that very few people do. You hear a lot of politicians say, oh, I'm going to go up there and I'm going to fight for life. And I'm going to come up to Washington and I'm going to fight to lower taxes and curb spending. And then they get there and they say, well, you know, it's kind of hard. We've got to work in a bipartisan way. And I'm working on this bill and I've submitted all this stuff. And they don't do anything. Well, Coach did something about it. And he took an incredible, I hope the people of Alabama realize like how much incredible, we saw a lot of national heat on him, but he took an incredible amount of personal abuse. When he stood up against the Pentagon and the Biden administration, the presenting issue was abortion, taxpayer-funded abortion. But the issue beneath that was, does the Pentagon have the right to legislate from the E-ring? I mean, can the executive branch write laws? And Coach said it. If I heard him say it once, I heard him say it 100 times from the floor. If Lloyd Austin, then Secretary of Defense, wants to write laws, he needs to run for Senate. And I'm just so proud of his record here. I really hope whether it's me or someone else, we get someone in his seat who will carry on that legacy.
Morgan, we got to leave it there. We're out of time, but we'll be watching whenever you do make a decision. Thanks for hopping on this morning.
You bet. It's great talking to you, Jeff.
All right. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Yes, there was.